when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning. Good afternoon, good evening to all you Blood River Radio fans out there. It is so good to be back. I was off last week, and just tell you where I was. I went to the Greek Festival. I was working volunteer as a St. Jude Children's Research Hospital hero. What heroes do, a lot of you people know what they call a St. Jude hero. We run marathons and half marathons and stuff like that to raise money for St. Jude. I raised just shy of $2,000, $1,963.68, I believe is what it was, but that's the least amount I've raised in 3 years. I've done 2 years in a row previous to this year. I did a shade over $2,000. But anyway, that's how I get into these marathons. That's how I run New York, costs $3,500, Memphis $600, Nashville $600. That's how I'm able to run all these marathons. Plus, if you raise enough money like that, I always say they'll let you run until you pass out and or puke. Like I've done both. Anyway, people, like I say, it is May the 28th in the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2022. There's no name under the sun which man can be saved other than Jesus Christ Almighty. May the 28th being Dead Yankee Day. It's coming up Dead Yankee Memorial Day. As Gene likes, we'll cover that later in the show. But people, if you will, you also know the drill. If you will, we always start off with a prayer. And before I forget, people, keep my son-in-law in mind, because he had a heart attack. He had another heart attack, and it's not good. Anytime you have more than, well, no heart attack is good, but that's not very good. So keep him in mind. We'll be praying for him tonight. So if you will, bow your heads, people. I'm going to lead us in prayer. Almighty Father God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of everything that's made, all things that are made, and all things that are seen and unseen, God, you made them. God, you spoke every single element on the periodic table into existence. You just spoke it into existence. Like I've said many times before, you didn't even have to speak it if you didn't want to. You could just think it into existence. And Lord, you did all that. And Lord, the gospel basically is the gospel. And we hope people here tonight, I wish we could influence one person to come to the gospel, to come to get saved like I did. It was my conversion was a miraculous conversion on the spot. I never thought it would happen to me. But Lord, you know, like you have said, you have promised, if you will believe in your heart, confess that you're with your lips that Jesus was raised from the dead. He died. God Almighty sent Jesus Christ, his only son, his only begotten son. He sent them to earth to pay the sin debt for all of us miserable, rotten, stinking sinners. There's none, nobody out there, including yours truly, is holy. None of us are good. There are none good, Lord. No, not even one. We are saved by grace and grace alone, and not even that, and through faith, and not even that faith is our own. It's a gift from God. So thank you so much, Lord, for sending your son, your only son, here to pay this sin price for us. And Lord, I'd also like to say, we can't pay you back, because like I just said, none of our deeds are good, but we're going to try to do this, Lord. We're going to try to do your work here on earth. Here at Blood River Radio, we want to fight evil in our own unique way. Everybody has their own way of serving the God. We want to have wisdom. We give us the wisdom to know the enemy. Like we always say that, in the wisdom, how should we best fight this enemy? And Lord, do not let us be afraid of those men that can kill our body. Let us instead, Lord, be afraid of the man who can take our soul. Anyway, I ask all this in Jesus' name, amen. Like I said, I'd like to hope the Lord will look after my son-in-law. And also, I'd like him to pray to bless all of our donors, all of our supporters. Speaking of which, starting off, one of our donors I talked to just today, it's always pleasant to talk to, Biscuit of Florida. Biscuit is a very, very unusual person. He's one out of 10,000, I would say. He said, we always pick him up. He said, Blood River Radio always lifts his spirit. Well, I tell you what, Biscuit lifts my spirits too. Biscuit's a big donor, as is James in Washington. James sent me a copy out of a newspaper, his grandson, the baseball team. So a picture of his baseball team. There was a short story in there about his grandson's baseball team. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't take money for that, because anytime somebody, we have a listener or a donor that tells you about their family, sends you pictures of their family, that's sacred to me. That's something you cannot betray. That money can't buy it. That's just very special, very special. Thank you so much, Alan. Thank you so much, Biscuit. Thank you so much, James. Also, Ken in Lynbrook, New York, Big Ben Ken. What more can I say? He just continuously supports us. He really does. A month doesn't go by, he doesn't support us. Also, my big sister, I forgot to tell her last week, my big sister Nancy sent in a check to help keep us afloat. And I want to thank my big sister Nancy for that sacrifice. It's so sweet of her. You know, she's a big, tough, mean sister. She'll kick your teeth down your throat if you get out of line, but she does have a sweet bone in her body too. And Paul, good old Paul of West Virginia. It's the second time. He was a new donor, but he sent in another check to support us. And also, I'd like to say, go back and talk about Rand of Canada, Monica's friend. I found out he listens to our show every week, and he said it's been very good. He was especially complimentary on last week's show when I was gone at the Greek Festival, raised money for St. Jude. He said it was a wonderful show. And so all my people, all of us, you know, like, I'm not the big kahuna. Well, that's for damn sure, because we don't have any. We have all people are the same on this show. We're all brothers and sisters. We love each other. That's true. We love our staff. And speaking of staff, I don't want to embarrass him. We have another child on tonight. We're breaking him in. His name is Aaron. And so people just keep Aaron and the rest of Jay's family in your prayers, that they continue to be healthy and happy, and they're just really good people. Also, I would like to ask you people out there, pray for the success of the League of the South. They're going to be having their big conference down there. It's going to be the third. Actually, I was supposed to be there the second, third, and fourth. We're going to be, but some there was complications arose. Well, we couldn't broadcast, and my whole purpose for going down there was to broadcast the show. So since we couldn't do it, you know, it's very, very expensive to do that. It's a cost like $600 for the car, and you got hotels and gas and stuff like that. So we'll be passing on that. So if you people, also people, we had to postpone our trip to Washington, D.C. As you know, we were invited to Washington, D.C. to attend the United States Ship Liberties Association meeting. So we're gonna take a rain check on that. If they'll allow us back, we're going to try to plan for that next year. We'll have more time, more money. Gene couldn't go anyway. And I really wanted him to go bad since he's a former Marine. Anyway, I'm looking. I think that's all the announcements I have. Oh, by the way, Rand is the fellow who sent the belt buckle with Monica Schaefer's name on there. And, I can't tell you how emotional that was. Anyway, people, that's it for the night. So that's all the housekeeping. We have old Miss Nancy Hitt, and I sent her the outline. I don't have the outline in front of me, but I got that's wonderful ace staff, so I don't have to really. I could pull it up, but I don't have time. So Miss Nancy is going to start off with a book review. We also have the old Alabama coon hunter to own, Rand, you know him. He's going to come in after Miss Nancy finishes her book review. He's going to contribute. He's got some special information concerning the author of that book. Anyway, so much for that. That was so much for the introduction. Now, how are you doing tonight, Miss Nancy?
I'm doing fine.
Great, great. How about you, Rand? You ready to rock and roll, son?
I'm ready, Eddie. How are you, Miss Nancy?
Well, we just turned Miss Nancy. We've got about 2 minutes before break. Go ahead and cut loose and tell us what we're going to do.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Eddie and listeners. If you have listened to last week's broadcast about Rudolf Hess, I'm going to read something briefly that was in the Barnes Review. It's just a very short thing, and I'll try to read it before the break. And it's, like I say, it's from the Barnes Review. Despite the difficulty of charging Hess with a crime, the indictment at the Nuremberg trial charged Hess with all four criminal counts. Hess regarded the trial as a sham and paid little attention to its proceedings. Although Hess had hardly spoken during the trial, he delivered a memorable closing speech on August 31st, 1946. With his speech broadcast around the world, Hess concluded, in quotes, "To me was granted to work for many years of my life under the greatest son of my country has brought forth in 1,000 years of history. The time will come when I shall stand before the judgment seat of the Eternal. I shall answer unto him, and I know that he will judge me innocent." End of quotes. Hess was convicted by the Nuremberg Tribunal on the single count of crimes against peace and sentenced to life imprisonment. It's ironic that Rudolf Hess, the only defendant in Nuremberg who had risked his life for peace, was found
Sister
guilty
Nancy,
of
we
crimes
have to go to
against
a break.
Peace.
We have to go to our first break, Sister Nancy. We'll be right back. Please don't lose that thought. People, hold on to your seats. We're going to go right back to Miss Nancy right after this first commercial break.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
The Innocent 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, I sure wish I had me a 44 Magnum. I got this little 357 here and a little 45 ACP, but that should do the job, folks. Anyway, people going right back to my big sister, Miss Nancy. Miss Nancy, continue on, dear. I'm sorry you got interrupted by the break. Go ahead, dear.
Oh, that's okay. This is just the last paragraph. It is ironic that Rudolf Hess, the only defendant at Nuremberg who had risked his life for peace, was found guilty of crimes against peace. The life sentence given Hess by the judges at Nuremberg was an extreme perversion of justice. And that was just a conclusion. just concluding remarks about the Rudolph Hess. My book review is actually about...
Miss Nancy, let me ask you one quick question. You made a great statement there. It should have 25 exclamation marks on it. Tell people briefly, if you don't mind, what Rudolph, when you said Rudolph Hess risked his life trying to for peace, trying to create peace between England and Germany. If you can, briefly, without interrupting your book review, tell the people, the audience, a little bit about what you meant by that, by he risked his life for peace.
Rudolph Hess flew into, actually, with Scotland in an airplane. Actually, I believe he crash-landed. I think they purposely were expecting him and turned the lights off at the airport, and he had to parachute out, which, according to the information, that was the first time he'd ever attempted a parachute jump, and he was lucky he survived. He wanted to really to speak with Churchill. That was one of the things he was hoping for. He landed on the I think he was looking for the Duke of Hamilton, I believe. But at any rate, within days, instead of allowing him to express the reason he was there, maybe they probably did know why he was there, they put him in the Tower of London. Then they sent him to prison in Wales for the rest of the war. And ultimately, when he got convicted at Nuremberg, he was spent 46 years of his life in prison. 20 of it was basically, he was a solitary prisoner at Spandau in Berlin. We're just lucky that a courageous Tunisian man who was his caregiver for the last 5 years of his life was able to write a book and document the maltreatment he received by the Allies, and also the fact that they actually killed him. He was sure that the British and Americans had killed him. At 93, he was not able to commit suicide. So that was really the, in a nutshell, that's kind of what happened.
So to sum it up, you might could say he was a German Neville Chamberlain. He went there to try to sue for peace, to try to prevent that bloody war that killed millions and millions of good Christian white people. That's what Miss Nancy's right. He was over there trying to stop the war. But those evil people, they can't have peace, son. There's no money to be made out of peace. But anyway, I'll shut up now. Go ahead with your review if you want to, Miss Nancy. I wanted the people to see the gravity of that statement you made. They put him in prison. They had to shut him up because they wanted their stinking war. And they did not want the people of the world to know that the Germans had been trying to sue for peace for a long time. God only knows how many overtures for peace. But the British turned it down every time because they wanted their war. But go ahead, Miss Nancy.
Absolutely. That's absolutely correct. Well, this is a book review that actually is about Hitler's pilot, and it was a fascinating autobiography. The book review I called One Plucky Pilot, and I'll just read it. Johann Hans Peter Bauer was born in Ampfling, Germany, on June the 19th of 1897. He died on February the 17th of 1993 and is buried in Munich. Hans seemed destined to spend much of his life among the clouds. As a German volunteer, he became a very young pilot during World War I. Hans was employed as a commercial pilot after the war came to an end. Due to his vast flying experience and safety record, Hans was brought to the attention of Adolf Hitler. He was to become Hitler's personal pilot. In this capacity, Hans came into contact with some of the most important persons of the age. In 1971, Hans wrote his autobiography in German. In 1986, it was translated into English and published by the Eichler Publishing Corporation. The book is entitled Hitler at My Side. This book is certainly one of the most exciting books I have ever read. Hans exuded a zest for life and for dangerous adventure. The author begins his narrative with his determination as a youngster to learn to fly airplanes. The reader is taken along with Hans on daring flights in those early fragile flying machines. Pilots flew them in freezing weather with few instruments to guide them and no oxygen to aid them. Hans details the evolution of the German airplanes and instruments from 1915 through 1945. There were many significant people that went up in the air with Hans Bauer as their pilot. In addition to German military officials, Hans piloted such anti-communist leaders as King Boris of Bulgaria and Ion Antonescu of Romania to confer with Hitler. Both of these men took a stand against the Bolsheviks and paid dearly. The preface explains what Hans hoped to accomplish in writing his autobiography. In quotes, "When I made my memoirs public, I did not intend to make a great contribution to world history. My whole life was shaped by my passion for flying. For me, happiness lay between earth and sky, and the wind of the propeller was my music. The great and powerful men of the time were my passengers, and their safety was my foremost concern. Great men from the fields of science and art, crowned heads, and powerful politicians from many countries flew with me. Considering how they stand before the inexorable judgment of history is not my task. Therefore, this book is intended to be neither accusation nor justification. Nothing more is intended than to let the lights flare in the fullness of my memory and illuminate the episodes and experiences that seemed noteworthy. In as far as they reflect the times and reveal the fates of people, then let them be a contribution to the history of the era. It is essentially my task to let my readers participate in the great flights that led me across mountains, valleys, and national boundaries in fair weather and foul." From page 38 and 39, "Night Landing in a Potato Field. Dear reader, please pardon me for writing down so many individual experiences from the past, but they seem important to me in a time when people think in terms of speeds beyond the sound barrier, and when they forget how incredibly problematic flying was just three decades ago. The year 1930 brought a decisive leap forward in technical development. Up to that time, every flight in clouds or thick fog was a risk. The devices indicating the orientation of the airplane were very primitive, having originated during World War. During the World War, many pilots, when forced to fly blind, had relied on the deceptive indicators and had crashed. In 1930, we received the artificial horizon for instrumental flight. Among his many awards, Hans received the Liouville Prize in March of 1932, along with two other Lufthansa flight captains. As he stated on page 49, "This distinction was a very special honor for us, but more important for aviation was the fact that we had achieved an extraordinary safety record for that era on the most difficult routes in Europe, including many hours of night flight, that German aviation had achieved such heights in spite of the restrictions imposed by the Treaty of Versailles, and that aviation had slowly won increased significance in the world and found general acceptance."
Stacy, we have to go to our second break, so hold that thought. We'll be right back, and I'm going to search for a book about another German fighter pilot that was sent to me. Anyway, people, hold on to your seats. Be right back. Go right back to Miss Nancy, and we'll bring Rand in really soon.
pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Colonel Stephen McCraw with the Texas Department of Public Safety says officers made key errors when responding to the elementary school shooting that killed 19 students and two teachers. It happened days after Texas Governor Greg Abbott praised how officers handled the shooting. Now Abbott says the information he was provided with at a news conference earlier this week was a recitation of what law enforcement officers told him beforehand.
As everybody has learned, the information that I was given turned out in part to be inaccurate, and I'm absolutely livid about that.
At the NRA convention in Houston, former President Trump Friday argued for solutions other than gun control.
What we need now is a top-to-bottom security overhaul at schools all across our country.
Senator Ted Cruz echoed the sentiment. This is USA Radio News.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-444-9336. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-444-9336. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-444-9336. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too. Call 800-444-9336. 800-444-9336.
The U.S. Forest Service says it was responsible for what became the largest fire in New Mexico history. The agency says investigators determined the Calf Canyon fire was started by a holdover or sleeper fire from a federal pile burn that concluded near the end of January. Though crews monitored the fire for a couple of days following the conclusion of the burn, the Forest Service says it remained dormant and survived three winter snow events before reigniting, escaped containment lines in April, and was significantly spread by a wind event. The Calf Canyon fire then merged with the Hermit's Peak fire, which was also started by an escaped federal prescribed burn. Federal jurors in Washington will deliberate the fate of lawyer Michael Sussman on Tuesday. He's accused of lying to the FBI about whether he was working on behalf of a client with Democratic ties when he brought the Bureau allegations about questionable links between a Russian bank and former President Trump's company before the 2016 campaign, hoping to deliver an October surprise that would have handed the election to Hillary Clinton.
Well, welcome right back, y'all, to You listen to Blood River Radio. My name is Eddie Bombardier Miller. Probably forgot to tell that in the first. I just now happened to think I might have forgot that, but most of you people probably recognize my voice. We've been talking about this book review about this German pilot that Miss Nancy is so eloquently presenting us with, and I told them I went and found this book. Its name of the book is Another Bowl of Kapusta, the true life story of a World War II fighter pilot. He was a Luftwaffe fighter pilot and a POW in Russia. It was written by Diane M. Pop and Godfrey P. Dulias. Godfrey P. Dulias was like a teenager. When he started flying, he was an ace. And I'll make this quick. Back in those days, there was still some gentleman chivalry, some, you know, leftover from the Nice Round Table. There was still respect among soldiers. And he shot a Russian pilot down, and he followed him down to the ground to make sure he was okay. But this guy, he's dead now, I'm sure, but Godfrey Dulias, he was years and years and years ago when I was a political suspect, we had him on the show. But if that would be another great book, if you were interested in that sort of thing, I don't know if you can get that book. The name of it is Another Bowl of Kapusta. Kapusta is like cabbage soup one head of cabbage and 55 gallons of water is what pretty much what the Russians gave the German POWs. Anyway, I'm going to shut up. Go right back to you, Miss Nancy.
Okay, well, I'll come to an end in here in just a second. Hans recorded some of Hitler's idiosyncrasies, such as being a vegetarian, abstaining from alcohol, and lacking empathy for sport fishing and hunting. I was particularly fascinated with the flight that Hans took with his wife to South Africa. He flew from Germany along the eastern coast of Africa, stopping along the way. This flight was made in order to deliver an airplane to South Africa, and Hans was able to do some touring, even visiting the famous Kruger Wildlife Reserve. While attempting to escape on foot from Berlin during the closing days of World War II, Hans was wounded four times. He was captured by the Soviets and suffered greatly due to his injuries and the subsequent amputation of his wounded leg. Hans was held in the gulags for 10 years. His wife died during his imprisonment. The Soviets learned that Hans had been living in the Führer bunker. They tormented him for years to determine if Hitler had been flown out of the country before the fall of Berlin. Hans was fully aware that Hitler, along with several others, had committed suicide rather than be captured by the brutal Soviet Bolsheviks. The book Hitler at My Side contains 228 pages, and it is available from the Barnes Review. It was priced at $25 plus shipping. Hitler at My Side is an awesome autobiography by one plucky pilot. Thank you, Eddie.
Well, thank you, Miss Nancy. Now we'll bring the Alabama Coon Hunter in. Alabama Coon Hunter, it's go ahead and respond to that book review from Miss Nancy. Anything you want to do, any questions you want to ask, whatever, fire away.
That was very good and informative. And you know, this story to me, if anybody would take this story and look at it, that says it all about the demons that rule us even to this day. Of course, this is a very old story. But you know, Mr. Hess was right from the beginning. He thought it was a sham. And it was a sham, but he paid the price for it. But that's terrible. For somebody to be done that way, seeking peace. And you know what? He knew where he stood with his creator too. I picked that up in there. He felt good about where he was at. So I feel like Mr. Hess. I mean, I know it's hard to be locked up that long, but he had his father with him, and for the most part, he was probably in peace. But you know, there's other people out there that fought against such as this. Have you ever heard of Cornelia Zila Kondriandu? Have you ever heard of him, Miss Nancy?
I don't mean to put you on the spot. No, I don't think
but so. But he was a and that's why I bring him up. It's along around 1938 or so, and he was a Romanian, and he formed the Armed Guard, and there were a group of like-minded Romanians, mostly youth, 20 to 30. They were heavily nationalist. They were religious-minded. Christian. They took the Archangel Michael as their figurehead. And like Michael slayed demons, that's what they sought. They sought to slay the demons that was destroying their nation. And you know, that brings up a good subject. Why don't we have trenchmen ready to slay demons that are destroying our nation right now?
But excellent question.
Anyway, to continue, as their symbol, they had nine crosses connected to form prison bars. So this would show their commitment and their willingness to pay the price the hard, mm-hmm. necessary cries that it don't seem that we have too many today that's willing to pay. But they were willing to go to prison. They were really willing to die for that cause.
Mm-hmm.
And you just you think about where we're at today, and I just want to hearken back just for a moment to the origins of this holiday as we spend right now, Memorial Day. It all started with Confederates. Right. And I could read this thing, and I might later if we have time, if Eddie allows me. But what I'd like to say is, in all due respect to my brothers out there, like Brother Gene and Eddie that served, but think of all the good Southern blood that has been shed for this now heathen nation.
Right.
We talked about last week on this show, the Bolsheviks won World War II.
Right.
58,000 killed in Vietnam. 58,000 killed. For what? I had a first cousin that served in Vietnam. His name was Ernest Hudson. He used to tell me and our other cousin, Hal Owens, on many occasions how they would take ground, give it back, have to take it again, over and over and over, just getting mostly good white men killed.
Mm-hmm.
See, this has been a long plan. This has all been for a long, long time. Think about all those good men. Those good men. And I'm going to talk about white men. Other people can think about other men if they want to. But I'm talking about white men. Think about all those good white men that would have had good Southern children and grandchildren that never made it.
Right.
Think about that.
Right.
My daddy was in Korea. My daddy went to Korea. I want to tell you something. I never knew until the day that he was buried that he had a Purple Heart. He never bragged about defeating communism. The only thing he ever told me about the Korea was it was the coldest damn place he had ever been.
You know, Rand,
but
have you ever heard of
day,
a place?
You know the day people, that most that walk around us, Brother Eddie and Miss Nancy, most that walk around the day, they're like clouds without water.
Mm-hmm.
Randy, speaking of Korean War, have you ever heard of a little place called the Chosin Reservoir?
Yeah.
I have, and I've heard it through a man that's dead gone that I studied the Bible with. He knows more about the Bible. He's done forgotten more about the Bible than most people would probably ever think about, but yes, I have. His name was Arnold Murray, Pastor Arnold Murray with Shepherd's Chapel. Yes, he was there, and I've heard him speak about that. And he was, and I love Pastor Murray.
We got to go to a quick break, Rand. We'll be right back. We'll talk about the Chosin Reservoir. I'll tell you a few things about it. Be right back, folks.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
The Epoch Times. TheTimes.com.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. Freedomfactor.org.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
All right, dear Blood River Radio people, I know you've heard me say this. I can't believe how fast this time is going. But we'll wind this career up a little bit. We were talking about the Battle of the Chosin Reservoir when the 1st Marine Division, 7th Infantry Division, parts of the 8th Army almost froze to death up there because our stinking government sent them up there in summer uniforms. But, Brian, I think Miss Nancy said she would, if you're through, she would like to talk about this. Y'all were supposed to talk about Olive Childers.
Yeah, I had mentioned to Miss Nancy on an occasion that we should recognize Brother Childress, and I know Miss Nancy worked for him or helped him out, and anyway, she knows a lot more about him than I do. But I was in Montgomery that day at that Confederate rally. I think it was around 2009, 2010. I don't know, could be 11. I'm not sure, but. The Sons of Confederate Veterans had Olaf arrested down there for giving out his newspapers, the First Freedom. And I saw him. Mm-hmm. I saw him when they put his face up against the plate glass window downtown Montgomery, Alabama. But anyway, yeah. Miss Nancy, that's a little introduction to that. You go ahead and you know more about Mr. Olaf than I do. Go ahead and tell us about him. Take all the time you want.
Well, let me ask this one question, y'all.
Go ahead.
The police treated him pretty rough then? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, yeah, they roughed him up. They put him against a plate glass window. I saw that. I witnessed that. They roughed him up, took him to jail, hauled him off.
He could have been cut.
I don't know how long he's been.
I think Olaf took the cops to court. Yeah, I think he did. But that was a no, that didn't benefit him financially. But I think he did take the police to court, those two who...
Yeah, that's
him.
Not to interrupt, yeah. Miss Nancy. I'm sorry, but that, you're right. He probably did, but that would be like the league taking the city of Charlottesville, Virginia, to court. Go ahead.
Well, no, you know what? I think they awarded Olaf a dollar. Yeah, they awarded him a dollar.
I think so. I think that's right. Yeah,
something like that. But briefly, Olaf was born in 1938, and he died not too long ago. He died in 2018, and I was very lucky to have. I met him at a Confederate event in Montgomery at the Capitol, and he was driving a hearse at the time because what he wanted to do, he wanted to protest. I think it was the 14th Amendment, and he and I talked about me getting a mule and pulling the hearse or pulling a cart behind us and going to D.C. Well, then he decided he was going to be more serious and stick with the newspaper. So he was like a one-man paper hanger. He did everything. He was editor, writer, publisher. He did it all, and I think it was a great paper. It was a monthly paper that he put out in Silver Hill, Alabama, called the First Freedom Newspaper. And I consider Olaf to be one of the finest men I've ever known. He was just a wonderful man. He really was. And I met, through my writing, I generally would write a book review or an article about where I had been or what I had done or something like that. And he would run almost everything. He would run at least one of my articles every month. And he would send me 100 copies every month that I would distribute locally. And through that working for Olaf, I mean, I was just just doing it on my own. I did meet a couple of people like Buddy Kirtland and Willard Shirky and, you know, some other people who I came in contact with, which was good. But, yeah, the SCV was set up, Olaf, it was a Confederate memorial, again, in Montgomery. And I think they knew what Olaf was planning. He was just going to distribute his paper on the sidewalk. They reported him and had him arrested, and he was arrested all that day. And he was never, they lied to him at the jail that they had lost his wallet because he had enough money to pay his way out. But they kept him in jail, and I don't think the SCV, of course, they were involved in their own memorial program. They didn't help him. They didn't help him much, not at all. If anything, most of the people, they just ignored it. The fact that he was arrested and roughed up, they didn't really care because I think they didn't support his point of view. And of course, after that, I mean, I know that I'm no the SCV doesn't like me either now, basically because of the paper, really because of the paper. So when you do something that you think is your right, which is distributing free of charge a newspaper, there's no cost, you're not trying to sell it, you're just handing it out, you don't even have the right to do that on the sidewalk, or at least not in Montgomery. Probably other places, too.
Oh, I have myself muted. I'm sorry. Miss Nancy, why did the SCV have it out for him so bad?
You know very well why, because his point of view, I sent you four papers, actually, when you read the paper, you'll know why, because he spoke about Jews.
Well, let the audience know why. I haven't, they'll tell the audience why they hate him so bad.
He exposed the Jews and blacks, you know. SCV was so upset about they couldn't condone that paper.
You know what? I hope there's some SCV SOBs living out there. I haven't heard one thing about those sorry dogs. You know, back when I was right before I was with the Political Suspect, we had a big thing down in Confederate Park here in Memphis. They were supposed to support the Political Cesspool and, helping bringing people in there. What's his name? The race pimp.
Nathan Bedford Forrest.
Yeah. The race pimp, came to town. What the hell was his name? Same old race pimp still. Not Jesse Jackson. The Reverend Al Sharpton. Of course, Roland was around then. They backed him down. But the SCV, man, they chickened out. They're not worth a damn. They've been giving Gene Andrews, they can't carry Gene Andrews' dirty underwear. I told Gene, and I'm going to say this on the air, I told Gene, I ought to come up there with you, Gene, and being you need to go down there to SCV headquarters. We need to explain a few things to them little boys. But anyway, go back to you, Rand.
I'm glad that I found out Rand was present that day. That's really, and he can, I mean, he witnessed it. So it's not just tall tales. I mean, it really happened.
And they was more that witnessed it. And I'm not gonna call names on the radio, but one guy in particular that always was giving out Mr. Olaf's newspapers, he witnessed it. He actually stepped over there and, tried to kind of, he didn't want to get arrested too, so he just kind of timidly, went over there. But anyway,
Well, now there was a lawyer. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
There was a lawyer. I think there was a lawyer who was present who really gave a lot of help to Olaf, a whole lot of help. He defended Olaf, and that was great. Now, at some point when we get off the air, I want to tell you who I think snitched on Olaf, and I think I know who it is.
That's so pitiful. He was on Public Street.
I can't call his name, but I can see his face right now.
So he was on a public street, Miss Nancy. He was handing out these papers. See, I've done that a million times. You're supposed to have a right. It's called freedom of speech. I've told some people I had a run-in with a fest here in Memphis. Not the Greek fest, another fest. And I told them, hey, I'm a citizen of the United States of America, unfortunately. A citizen of the state of Tennessee, a citizen of Memphis, Tennessee. I should be able to sit on a public sidewalk and exercise my right of free speech. But you know what? And you have it, but you don't. The same thing will happen to you. You're taking your life in your hands anytime you try to exercise your God-given rights and your constitutional rights. I'm going to shut up. Rand, you have anything to add to that?
But you're right. I do, Eddie. You're right. I mean, the word freedom of speech has been diluted down to nothing. It goes right back to that clouds without water. It's not what it says anymore. I mean, anybody in this country right now that thinks they're free, my goodness. I mean, and there's a lot
idiots.
Of them that know. Don't get me wrong.
They're idiots.
But they are, man. No, nobody's free. Think about everything that you pay and go through and do. I mean, it don't take a poor ass country boy like me can figure it out. My goodness. It's like our people are under a strong delusion.
Right.
And, you know, think about TV.
Right.
Think about, and I don't want to go off on a rabbit trail, as Eddie says, but think about TV. TV is programming. Think about programming. Mm-hmm. Programming minds. Throw it out the damn window. Get rid of it. You don't need it. I promise you. You can live without it. Trust me.
Well, let me ask you a question, Miss Nancy, since you brought this up. In your opinion, what I've heard, I have my own opinion, do you think the SCV is a controlled opposition group?
Not really. I can't say that it's any kind of they're controlling themselves, basically. When you look at the leadership and you look at the meetings that they have, it does appeal to people who have and many times it's people who are moneyed. These are people who are afraid of these kind of hot topics. I wouldn't say it's controlled opposition. I'd say that they're fearful of, you know, there's a lot of, as we all know, the South is the kicking boy and has been for 150 years. So, you know, today it's even more sketchy, you know, to stand up and say that you are a Southerner. So maybe along with our political point of view, they have to be, you know, they're fearful. They're fearful of all of these tags that anti-Semitist, racist. I mean, what could be worse?
Rand, in your opinion.
Yeah.
Rand, before we run out of time.
Yeah.
Rand, before we run out of time.
They tip around. That's what they do, y'all. They tip around. And you know one thing, cowards, I want to say this, I'm going to shut up. Cowards, the thing about cowards, they always weed themselves out.
Well, we're almost out of time. Let me ask you a question. In your opinion, is the SCV a controlled opposition group, in your opinion? Are they full of moles?
No, I think they got some. You asking me, Eddie?
Yeah. What's your opinion?
I think there's some good people in there, but they're scared. To a certain extent, they want to try to do the right thing with their ancestors and all that, and I get it. But they're not going to step over that line and erupt their cozy little way of living.
Well, we've run completely out of time, Rand. Y'all, Miss Nancy, Miss Rand, we've run completely out of time. My opinion, the SCV is not worth, they can't carry the dirty underwear of anybody on Blood River Radio. Miss Nancy, Rand, we'll pick. I'll talk to you later. We're gonna let you fly. We gotta hold Miss Nancy over for a few minutes. She's gotta talk to Miss Monica for a few minutes in the next hour. God bless you, people. We've run completely out of time for the first hour. We're transitioning. We're going to pick up Miss Monica Schaefer, my baby sister. We're going to pick up the bitter inner Gene Andrews. And good night. Thank you for tuning in tonight, Rand. People, hold on. We'll be right back. Going to the second hour.